It means whatever you want it to mean. That's what's great about existence. Okay. Reading groups, new members, how you know each other. Codex, these officers. Yeah. Let's start with new members. We could have it structured like a meeting where we have new business and old business, right? So old business would be like reading groups. We talked about those last week. What's new with that? And actually, all of this is old business except my office hours. And how we get to know each other. We haven't had that conversation either. Really, I think. So that's an option too.
Okay. Well, we're live. We're recording.
Oh, we are.
I'm not going to edit this out.
Okay. I didn't realize we were recording.
let's just go for it.
Okay. New members. So, first of all, hi, everybody. Welcome to Co-op Shop Talk with Caroline and Marco. We have a little agenda in our chat window over there. We hope you all will join us, too, at these calls sometime, one of these Tuesdays, because it gets lonesome. We want to hear your questions and actually have conversation with you. That's kind of the whole idea here. So, first, we want to welcome some new members to the Cosmos. Marco?
Okay, so that's what we were just talking about, that we opened up membership, and people can go to cosmos.coop and sign up, and then we also have the reading groups going. One, actually, for Spheres by Peter Sloterdijk, with John David Ebert hosting that. And so folks have been signing up, and I wanted to welcome the new signups, specifically Wendy Ronitz-Baker and David Guyon, who just signed up today. So welcome. And we've been working together, of course, and we'll talk about some of the projects that we've had going on. But we've also had Lauren Martin, Joycelyn Kiss, Ed Mahood, who we've also been working with, Jeffrey Edwards, Derwin Foster, Victor Maticoli, and yourself, Caroline, and myself. We all signed up for membership. You and I were the first two to sign up. So it's been this kind of really exciting and slightly scary time. And I have to add to that list, actually, because on the Metapsychosis site, Josefa Van Den Anker, Vinicius Sa, Mina Whiteman, Michael Schwartz, Donna Abadi, Jacob Payton, and Ogden Zeigen, I hope I pronounced that correctly. We're not going to say everybody's names on every single call, but I thought we should welcome people as they come in, because after all, we're forming a community where the idea is to see each other and to be who we are in relationship, you know, with each other creatively and so forth and so on. So welcome, everyone. And I guess that leads to a couple of new things, which I can go into, or Caroline, if you want to talk about anything else, we can go in that direction too, really. All right, so David signed up, and we've been working together on a project. We're launching a new reading group, and we just launched it this morning, in the moments or the minutes before starting this call. So my attention has been a little bit scattered because I was working on some edits to that page, and I was chatting with David, and he was looking at the page describing the reading group. We recorded a video together last week and put that up. That's also on the page, and it's just David and I saying hi to everybody and basically describing what we have in mind for the group. And then just before we were going to get on this call, I walked outside of my studio here, and I walked toward the house to go inside for a moment, and there was a young hawk with a decapitated pigeon, and it was there was feathers all around it, and it was eating this pigeon. I stopped and I looked at it, and it saw me looking at it, and it kept on eating. And then I looked back behind me toward my studio, and my dog Mubi was lying on her little dog bed, just kind of taking in the sun. And then a squirrel came down the tree, and it kind of like walked onto the grass, not far from where the hawk was, and started either burying something or digging something up out of the yard. We planted seeds to grow grass because seemed all of our grass died last year, much of it did. And so I've been watering it, and it's just was an interesting moment to see, and seemed perhaps prophetic or perhaps just coincidental. I don't want to bring any particular metaphors into it.
What do you take from it, though? I want to hear why it was significant to you that you wanted to share it.
Well, I think because it was striking, and because it was like a bold statement to arrive like onto my lawn, and that however I don't even really know how to interpret it. I mean, it could be a portent, or it could be unimportant, and I just kind of am feeling basically stunned by it, and at the same time, it just happened, and so it was nature, and it was just what was. So, what do you think? Does it mean anything?
Well, you brought up your dog. I know. You brought up your dog and the squirrel and the grass, and I mean, it sounds to me that you felt that those things are all connected to you, just in the sense of like the presences of these life forms. Life is like right all surrounding you or whatever. Is that true?
I would say that's true. Yeah. It feels like the world is coming alive in like the natural.
Aha. Uh-huh. There you go.
Which of course it is, because it's springtime. And so like there are more hawks flying around the neighborhood. More animals are out. It's louder. It's louder in a good way. I mean, it feels like you hear birds chirping, and you hear, you know, animals kind of scurrying and all kinds of things like that. So, yeah, I guess it's just this coming alive, and it's really like my desire too. Like that's what I want for Cosmos, and that's part of why I said that. Like having members joining is exciting, and it's scary at the same time, because that's just like the nature of coming alive. It has that kind of trembling quality, and things are changing. And so, you know, part of, I think, where we're at in whatever this process is, and the reason, you know, doing these calls and doing the forum and doing the book groups and a number of other projects, is that something is coming alive. And the coming alive, though, is not necessarily always a nice and pretty process. You know, it sometimes involves decapitated pigeons, and perhaps that is perhaps there's something instructional in that for our own process. I don't know. I'm willing to play with it.
We have to be more like a hawk and less like a pigeon. If we don't want to become prey at this point in time.
Well, honestly, I mean, the part of the scary part for me is, and we were talking about this earlier this weekend, is that it does feel that the world is threatening. Like that's, I think, that's a feeling that people have and that I have. I've of course, like I'm paying attention to what's going on. Even though we tend to see events portrayed at a distance, like something happening in Syria or something happening in California or something happening somewhere else, and that those events seem to be other than us, seem to be separated from us, like we seem to be insulated from them, I think that that's not true. And that there is, like a crisis. There is a crisis in the phenomenal world, and that we exist in collectively, and that part of what Cosmos is a response to that, and it's important that it works. It's not just that it would be a nice thing. It's that it's intending to serve a sort of complex and multidimensional need and set of circumstances, which are, I think, very present for us. I think I could speak for at least you and I, because we've spoken about this, you know, many times, although I'm sure you'll have different perspectives on it. But for all those reasons, you know, I'm kind of betting on this. Like, I'm betting that this is a way to mitigate against some of the deleterious and corrosive aspects of what's happening around us, and to preserve and to enhance a currents of life that that we basically want. We want to be alive. We want to be like that hawk. Biting the head off the pigeon and sucking in its entrails, or whatever it was doing. And we're the hawk. And we're the pigeon
really
too.
We're
the pigeon too. And there,
right
there, we are the pigeon too.
So I definitely agree that the culture we're trying to build in Cosmos is one of affirming life, in the sense that, I mean, directly, we're trying to elicit, you know, the genius in each other to come out. And so we're really embracing the talents and capacities of each other. But, you know, I feel compelled to mention the Buddhist non-attachment thing, where this particular, like, it taking this, what needs to happen, it taking this particular form, I'm not attached to. I could be, but then I would only be inviting suffering, right? What needs to be done is really, 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 really clear to me. Cosmos is one container for that. What needs to be done is coming to a place where we can actually work with and respect and utilize to the full potential our minds, bodies, and selves. And to the extent that people cannot understand themselves, or fail to understand how their minds work, how their emotions work, how thoughts work, how, how their relationships work, there's violence incumbent to that. Like, there will be continued violence, in every direction. And I'm reading a book called Escape from Freedom right now that talks about authoritarian personalities and authoritarian phenomena in the social sphere. And, you know, it's clear that on some level there's basically acting out, right? Taking actions in the phenomenal world that attempt to alleviate certain anxieties, because those anxieties haven't been alleviated potentially more directly through working constructively with them. There's a lot of violence, and there's a lot of malfeasance, and it's not that we're saying we won't have any of that. It's that we're saying we will work through memes and through protocols and structures to explicitly disincentivize that and incentivize life-affirming behaviors, life-affirming conduct, which is true for any society, right? I mean, it's weird to call ourselves a society, like a secret society or something, but at the same time, you know, there are so many different ways of being human. There's so many different types of societies throughout existence, and we're losing more and more indigenous societies, unfortunately, the same way that we're losing many species and many biodiversity. We're also losing cultural diversity. But looking at all the different ways to be really shows that, you know, we can encode in our social structures for certain outcomes. We can, you know, really encode for certain goals and objectives in the social kind of what gets reinforced socially. So that is what we're hoping to do here, is create a, you know, a thriving garden of people's creativity. And that be a place where, just like a real garden of plants, people want to go to feel connected to life and to watch interactions between life forms. So anyway, shall we get off the philosophical and onto the tangible?
So. That was really interesting. And it's, I guess we just kind of dove off the deep end.
Into that. Well, you're the one who started it with your metaphor of the hawk and the pigeon.
I didn't start it. The hawk just came. The hawk was there.
You chose to share about it, though.
Well, all right.
Anyway.
Obviously, like, I'm anxious about all this. And
yeah.
So
there's a lot of pressure to do it right.
Yeah.
Because we care, not for your or I or my sake, maybe for your sake personally, but for the sake of, like, everyone who we're inviting in. You know, I want it to be good for them, and I identify with them. My creative self, my artist self, as Julia Cameron would say, identifies with your artist self, you know, and wants those selves to be served. So
sometimes, and this is metaphorical, sometimes I feel like I'm in a war. And that it's like a spiritual war that's basically, like, all around me. And I'm just describing how I feel.
Okay.
I'm not attached listening. Necessarily to how I feel. But nonetheless, to the extent that maybe physically, like, you know, I feel it, there's mm-hmm. like just a natural, like, realness and attachment to it. Like, it's real for me. But sometimes I feel that way, and that it's like, just like in World War II or in, like, any other war you can imagine, you know, you would be, like, besieged by an enemy, and you'd have to make, like, some daring escape, or, you know, you would have to liberate, you know, some village, you know, from, like, Nazis or something, like, crazy like that. That there, I know it's totally crazy, but at the same time, it can be like, you have to make these, like, maneuvers. Like, you have to be smart, basically. Like, you have to understand your enemy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you have to understand the terrain. You have to have connections, and networks, etc.
I feel like the terrain that we're playing on is attention. We have to understand how our attention keeps trying to get co-opted. And now there's this thing about selling our ISP histories, right? Literally, where we're putting our attention is what's for sale now. You know, and we're fighting those tides, and we're trying to liberate, right, the spirits or the, you know, the true selves or whatever of each other, in the midst of this chaos, this bombardment of attention and demands in terms of economic demands and things like that. And we're trying to, you know, liberate, you know, homes full of whatever refugees against the Nazis. It's, we're liberating, like, something more intangible, something more subtle, but yet that can have transformative effects on society, in theory and in practice. We're trying to, like, solicit those selves and empower those selves with tools and Alex weapons.
I just had Alex Jones flashing in my brain. InfoWars. There are some amazing clips of this dude on YouTube.
Oh, he's hysterical. I mean that in two ways.
Yes, I know. He's like a master entertainer of a certain very perverse and weird, totally out there type.
Yeah, a certain
genre. I don't
know
whether or not, like, yeah. Anyway, that's another matter for another time.
Yes, let's get off the astral plane and onto
we did have an agenda.
Material one here.
So anyway, membership, new members, reading groups. I didn't even say the name of the book that we're reading with David. It's Shantaram by Gregory David Roberts, and just put up the page for it like an hour ago. So if you want to read that book, which is, it's an amazing book, at least the 40 pages of it that I've read are amazing, and others have told me that it's an amazing book. You can sign up. And why don't we talk a little bit about like what we're working on, particularly this week?
Yeah. So this week, I've started to be able to get back to a place where I'm committing specific time blocks to Cosmos, which is what I was doing before I got this other part-time job. And now I'm becoming ready to do that again. So I will have some regular office hours, so to speak, to be moving forward on things, particularly Tuesday mornings, 10 to noon, before the co-op shop talks. I'll be on the site. I'll be on Infinite Conversations, primarily working on getting some crucial conversations going pertaining to the development of the co-op. And the way that will be facilitated is through this kind of compendium of official statements and policies about Cosmos that we're calling the Codex. The Codex will be a compendium of the story, right? The story of Cosmos. And we mean that both narratively, like, you know, who is doing Cosmos and why, but also actually how we do things and what we're trying to do and what our agenda and our plans are and what our aspirations are and what are our critical unanswered questions for moving forward to the next stage. And it will be something that evolves, that's truly a living document. I almost even hesitate to call it a document because it's more like this living, you know, dialogue. It'll be in the format of a wiki on our forum, so everybody can interact with it just as they would a regular thread of discussion. So we're working on getting that going. And actually, we had compiled the beginnings of a codex to the tune of something like 40 pages or more worth of material. And by 40, I mean like sections, like 40 sections. I don't know how many pages. And so, you know, this week, Marco and I will be starting to put up the first that we feel is, you know, ready to share and ready to invite criticism, invite conversation, invite critique and feedback on. And it ties into our kind of what our roadmap is for what our overall objectives are for what we do next. Because there's lots of things to be done. The question is, how do we go about prioritizing what happens next? And that's something that we hope to apply, from my perspective, apply things like permaculture design tools to, you know, the slow and small solutions and what's the most accessible intervention that can have the greatest yields? So looking at it from that lens and looking at it from kind of agile methodologies and things like that, but also surveying our members, right? And really understanding what's the pulse of the room right now in terms of what we want to do next. So all of this will lead into a process that I hope which consists of increasing our member participation at various levels, maybe as accessible as just leaving a comment on something you read, or all the way up to really becoming decision makers with respect to certain projects and contributing on a volunteer, consistent, tangible basis, a paid basis in terms of hiring workers from within our community for building out certain aspects of Cosmos. But just that last piece that I just said is not going to be ready for a few months. We're still working on the policies around that. But anyway, so that is going to be happening on Tuesdays for me, where I'll be working on the Codex and really working on the committees, or as we're calling them, circles, to get people involved in, you know, workshopping some of the critical questions facing the next stages of the development of the community. And then Thursdays, I'll be more focused on the kind of community guides volunteering position and just participating in the community and doing some other like research and development projects related to the co-op. In the last week, we also developed some kind of new protocols or like new ways of simply going about performing the tasks related to like the community guides role, and how we're going to get the codex up and running. Is there anything you wanted to add about the codex, Marco?
Yeah.
Or anything like that?
A couple things. One is that I think that the idea of it relates back to something you were talking about earlier, which is had to do with encoding our practices, values, and like just basically like disposition, like insofar as this is a community or, and an organization and a collective and a collaborative environment, it's, I think, very important to articulate how we do that. And that's not a static thing. It's not it's not even a framework. I don't even want to call it like, it's not a constricting thing, except insofar as we're negotiating how to best liberate our energies and how to get things done.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really meant to be like an active source, an active participatory, like you put it very well, I think, dialogue. And I'm glad that you're going to be doing this time on Tuesday, because that even leads into these calls, where really we're talking about stuff that will be in the codex. Like that's part of the point of having conversations like this, is to hash out our respective perspectives on what we're doing, why we're doing it, what's important to do, what the priorities are, and to document that.
Right.
I think that without that kind of documentation, and I don't just mean like something that's you know, put off to the side and you look at like, you know, once a year maybe. I mean like the documentation is an expression of, an embodiment of, and it's a reflection of the actual state, the actual conversations that occur.
The actual process of coming to choices, absolutely. And so, yeah, the codex serves multiple purposes, but one of the purposes that's crucial is that it would be a canonical policy book, effectively, of what Cosmos, of how Cosmos does things and what it's all about. And it would be, here's the other thing, perfectly transparent to the entire membership. So, not just for the membership to be able to, you know, engage with the content and read it and give feedback and critique things and call issues out, but also to simply have access to the inner working, like the visibility of the inner workings of everything, is really important to us. This actually, one of the next projects that we're going to do with respect to the codex, right, Marco, is publishing about our financial picture, our financial history, and our financial theories, like what we're trying to do in the realm of finance, and making that transparent. And hopefully, eventually we will have a system of open book accounting where, again, everything is visible. And transparency is another one of those actual cultural things that we want to encode, because we have not, you know, it's not about personal gain, it's about collective gain. We all share the needs that we hope this tool will address. And so, you know, there's no need at all for us to be cloistered in what we're doing. It should be public and transparent, and we want that, and that will be something that we hold, that we prize in the co-op culturally, you know, is that kind of clarity around the collective endeavor. That doesn't mean that there's no room for privacy on an individual level, but just talking about at the collective level of this organism called Cosmos, that should be transparent to all participants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And so it's going to take a little time to flesh it all out, because, I mean, this project has been going since, for me, 2013. I first got some money for it through a very generous donation in 2015. And I've been tracking all those expenses the whole time. I have records of everything, but they're relatively well organized, but it takes some time to go through them and put them in a public presentable form that can be, you know, verified, inspected, etc. In addition to that, though, I mean, what I really want to do is I want to tell the story of the financial story of Cosmos to date, just for just to bring people up to speed, because like I see things because I'm have access to the accounts and so forth. So I like know where everything goes. I know, you know, what's come in, what's gone out and so forth. And I know also why I spent money on this or that, what, and what the rationale was for those decisions. But I want to lay that out because later down the road, when somebody asks, well, you know, why did we choose this piece of software or another? Why did you pay so-and-so, you know, for to do this? I can just say, well, I wrote about it right there. And you can look and see and look at all the numbers and see how it all worked out. I just basically want to take myself personally out of the equation as far as like, how do I put this exactly? I want it to be trustworthy. I want it to be a trustworthy process, you know, and I want the transparency really to be a way for everybody to be comfortable.
Yeah.
Because I think what happens with money in basically every organization I've ever been a part of, I've encountered, and it's almost just the fabric of our reality, is that there's incredible shadow around it. There's incredible taboo around it. There's incredible, I think, just inherent power and social dynamics that are entangled with our relationships with money. And one of the things that I want Cosmos to do as an organization, and one of what I would see is its transformative potentials, is to disentangle that process by such methods as you're indicating, like the open book accounting, the transparency. And it's just important to me because for me, part of the pain point that I have, like part of the pain that's driving me to do Cosmos, is that I'm trying to feed my, you know, I'm trying to make a living. I'm trying to survive economically in this particular world. And so I think others are in the same boat. But the way that I think we tend to interact around money, because we're not transparent about it, because we don't have the constructive dialogues about it, ends up really kind of pitting us against each other in certain very subtle ways, mm-hmm. Which I think the process of transparency, even the narrative that we share with each other, can help to remediate.
Yes. Shall we get... I think that's all good. I want to get back to the agenda. We still have a lot to cover and we have 20 minutes. So.
Okay. No, that's cool. But I mean, it's something I've been thinking about a lot because I did my taxes this weekend in particular. So, I mean, it's always in the back of my head, but this weekend I had to just, you know, dig into our own finances and hope that, you know, things turned out well for us. And I was a little nervous about it, frankly. And it turned out fine, I think. You never know. But it's just that, you know, I think that perhaps like one of our kind of audiences, not the only, but might be the what sociologists are calling the precariat, not the proletariat, but the precariat, because often there's freelancers in that mix. Often there's, you know, the gig economy is in that mix. And, you know, of course, you know, we know the social situation, the political situation with safety net and so forth. That it's important that's a part of the conversation and that works its way into the codex as well.
The sooner that we can start sustainably employing people, the better. But there's a lot of steps before that. First of all, we need to grow membership and grow sponsorship of the Cosmos project itself. But also, and this is something that Marco and I both agree on, we need to have clear and auditable policies for what it looks like what the procedure is for someone to become paid, become qualified and authorized for receiving compensation from Cosmos. So that can be transparent and that can be auditable in terms of whether we're following our agreements. Absolutely, the precariat is a big constituency of this project.
Yeah. But not just them. I mean, it's like I said, a pain point for me. So that's why yeah. I mean, I perhaps harp on it. But again, because we're launching now, and money is starting to come in. So people are paying. So it, I think, is our responsibility, and it's incumbent upon us to take that seriously. And even if it's just $2 a month, I mean, part of that is like, now there's a promise between us. Like that, yep. That's almost what that symbolizes, or one thing yep. that symbolizes. And so,
but it's not just between is it, Marco and I, like, I think we both really feel the pressure to perform, like to do the best we can for our members. But what's important to recognize is that the $2 a month is not just, or the fee, the membership equity fee, is not just something that you pay so that things can be done for you. It's not just a consumer product. It's really paying for closer to almost like a membership in a private club, where you're expected to comprise a crucial part of our culture and to really participate. And membership implies that, if not explicitly means that. So anyway, I just wanted to bring attention to that. Like, it shouldn't just be the Marco and Caroline show. Let's make it more than that. Let's diversify the minds and hands in the mix, right? That's crucial. And we really hope our members will make up the people of our teams, of our tangible, you know, teams making progress on features of Cosmos.
All right. Well, there was a couple of other things on the agenda, mm-hmm. and we have 15 minutes left. So one of them that would be interesting would be the question of how we get to know each other.
Yeah. So something that Mark and I have talked about in meetings this week is that the way the forum is currently set up is great for having discussions on discrete topics, but it's not so easy to really see each other and get to know each other. And those aspects are going to be crucial to building a community that has rapport and trust and collaboration potential. So this is actually something that we discussed, you know, well, could we have a thread besides just personal introductions that's dedicated to that? Could we stimulate certain types of conversations by inviting our members to pose provocative questions that we all would then participate in answering, and that would be a way to get to know each other, and we could have little games or like badges attached to that, where, you know, the person with the most responses on their post gets a prize type thing, like a not a significant prize, just a credibility prize, like a badge or something. So we talked about that. We also talked about building out features where you know, it become, or like using applications that other people have developed that are compatible with our space to create profile pages, or have, you know, have spaces where the kind of visual and user experience is one of getting to know each other. Yeah, as I said, this is super crucial, not in small part, because when new members are joining, it's kind of really important that the staff, so to speak, that Marco and I have the ability to know what they're all about and really invite them to, for instance, if they're a great candidate for participating in a committee, how do we identify that information? You know, are we really going to get to know each other, or is the way that the forum's set up, which is kind of like whatever the latest posts get featured, the latest activity gets featured, are we going to miss people? Are we going to lose sight of people? So we want to just kind of open this up to everybody to think about, what are some ways that we could tangibly get to know each other better in our spaces?
Yeah. And we don't have the answer exactly to that. I mean, we have some initial hypotheses, I'd say, and, you know, we have some tools at our disposal that we could use, that we could use better, that we could communicate better about, so that others can use them to their greater mm-hmm. potential. I would add, like, one easy thing to do would be to update your profile on the form, which you can do by clicking the little round avatar for yourself. If you haven't added an image yet, it'll just have the first letter of your name. But if you click it, there's a gear icon, and you click that gear icon, and then you could add your photo, you could add a short bio, you can add your website, or if you have a social media profile you are most active on, you could add that there as well. And then when there's a discussion, you could click on a person's picture and it'll bring up a little card that gives you a summary of what they've added to their profile. That would be a start. That's something that we could do right now on the forum, and it just takes a couple of minutes to do it. I think that probably one of the things we need to do, and we've discussed this as well, is create some more like tutorial videos and kind of little mm-hmm. help videos or help tutorials for using the forum. Mm-hmm. And there are all these like neat little hidden tricks and features in it actually that make it a pretty cool piece of software. Like you can do stuff on here that you just can't do on Facebook. And it's really much more conducive to in-depth dialogue. And I believe even in a certain sense to getting to know each other, at least at like the level where we could be more expansive and, you know, less in a sort of social media mindset. So that's, on the list as well. But what would be great is to have some members help out with that stuff. I think part of it is like putting it out and communicating and having the conversations, like what's really needed, like what's really the, what would help kind of flesh this out and make it better for all of us. Because if a new member comes in and it makes sense, and they could get oriented and they could, get to know who's already here, and then, easily participate in a conversation, that adds to the overall conversation. It adds to the overall experience. Mm-hmm. But the forum is one dimension of it. And that mainly relies on written text. You could add videos or audios to it, but it's mainly text. But there have to be other modes, I think, to flesh out. We're trying in some way to approximate a real life, a real 3D offline type of experience online, and that's always going to be imperfect. But I think part of what our mission is as an organization is to make the best use of the tools we have to enhance that experience of intersubjectivity and particularly creative and collaborative intersubjectivity. Mm-hmm. So, but again, we don't have all the answers for how that's going to be done. Like this is something that really I think could best arise from a broader collective and collaborative effort.
I wonder if, though, we can put out the invitation to anyone listening to this, who, if you're listening to this, you're probably a member, or you at least are on the forum, to try to think of questions that are deep that you would love to ask members of this community, just to hear their stories. And along the lines of our ethics and values here, what are some, so not like, something that's inappropriate or whatever, or probing, but something that's deep and invitational. What's a question that you might like to ask? I'll just throw out a type of example, like, what is the most important experience you've ever had? For instance, I would love to hear how people interpret that question and the different, stories that emerge. And I think that's a way to get to know someone is through like hearing them explain how they think about the world and what has happened to them.
That's a great question. That's a very provocative question.
It's like really open-ended, right? So things like that, I kind of want to challenge people to use your creativity to come up with questions and just post them on the forum.
Let me add something about the forum. There are different channels in it. And the idea is each channel is configured a little bit differently and maybe supports different kinds of conversations. So there's even different levels of privacy in the channels in terms of who can see what's posted and who can participate. And just to give a brief, very brief, like topography of that, at the outermost layer are the public channels. So this is material that anybody can read and see, and even anybody can join the forum and reply to it. So for example, when we publish something on metapsychosis, that gets a corresponding topic in the metapsychosis channel, and you can join the forum with a free account and leave a comment on that article. However, we also have other channels, like the new reading groups channels are going to be for members of those groups to participate in. I think that they will still be publicly viewable, but you'll have to be a member of the group to participate in it. And that's mainly to create a container. But we can also, if some groups want to have a more private space, like let's say a member wants to read a book with a group and have it not be visible to the public because maybe it's just more appropriate given the nature of the conversation to be more closed, that we can enable that as well. And so in the context of like a question like yours, there are two specific channels where I think it could be appropriate. One is the Infinite Commons channel, and that's the most general channel for open conversation. Conversations there can be initiated by any member and replied to by anybody. But basically they're open. There's also a channel that hasn't been used yet. It's totally fresh territory. And it's just called the Lounge. It came with the forum. I didn't even set it up. But it's more private in that only members can see and reply to it. It's not to create a secrecy, really. It's just to create a space where some people feel like some conversations feel you don't want them on the internet and like Googleable. And that can be just appropriate for that particular conversation. So, or that particular question.
For the how we get to know each other type of conversations.
Yeah, exactly. So okay. I'm just kind of pointing that out, and it's not that's the kind of thing that would be in the codex once it gets codified. Mm-hmm. But as of now, it's just kind of how the forum was set up, through various iterations over the last couple of years. Part of what a member can do is initiate a conversation. And I'm trying to give a sense of like what some of the options are there, because it could be fairly nuanced and, mm-hmm. it could allow for some subtlety in like how we get to know each other. Because that's one of the nice things is that there's a lot of complexity, to explore. And, it's not that we have to get to know every single person either. I mean, in some ways, it could be very pragmatic, right? A project that you want to work on, and you're looking for somebody who has a particular skill set that would be useful for you. So that'd be the kind of thing that we want to enable as well.
Mm-hmm. And we will be with marketplace and sponsorship stuff. I just thought of something. We could have showcases. Picture open mics where on a given week or a given day, like all attention is on, or like the floor is open to so-and-so, and so-and-so is going to put their poem up we can craft how this looks, but that would be fun to have showcases where
it's a great idea.
This week is, John Dunn and whatever.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great idea. For sure. Yeah. We could have Battle of the Bands.
Generative engagement.
Well, I mean, like open mic. Yeah. Or more, more crafted types of presentations or performances. It could be literary, it could be musical. It could also be like more academic or theoretical, mm-hmm. Presenting a work in progress or a collection on some themes. I mean, the possibilities are infinite. Of course, our time as embodied mortals is not.
Yes, regrettably. is there anything else? We actually covered almost everything that was on the original agenda. Did you want to talk about the ghost thing, or you want to save that for next time? What we discussed.
Let's save it.
Okay.
Let's let it be a ghost of the future conversation.
Ghost of co-op shop talk.
Just let that hang like a phantasm of ambiguity. All right. Enough.
All right. This time next week, hopefully there'll be some Codex action.
All right.
Keep an eye out for it.
Thank you.
Members. Yes. Bye. Bye and thanks.